Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online, so you can access it from anywhere in the world. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whenever it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist with no additional cost. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom picked for you, more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/howtosurvivesociety. That's betterhelp.com/howtosurvivesociety. Hello, survivors. This is your girl, Abby Ayola Williams, and you're now listening to How to Survive Society. How to Survive Society is a weekly podcast that features survivors. These are people that have been through the ringers in life. They've been through hell and back, but they choose to stay positive. They choose to win. They choose to thrive, and they choose to survive. So let's get right into it.
Recording. Hello, survivors. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of How to Survive Society. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is Sherry Seagull. No, it's not Seagull. Yes, Seagull Glick. So Sherry's an author, and she's also a lawyer from the Ottawa area in Canada. So today we're going to talk about childhood, you know, how her book and the anorexic, you know, like the eating disorder and things like that. So welcome, Sherry. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I apologize earlier for starting late. You know, I like to be upfront and upcoming, so I apologize for that, like really and truly. So first, before I even dive into questions, I usually want to ask about childhood, you know, because sometimes our childhood is what makes us who we are today, or, you know, what we go through. So how was your childhood growing up?
You know, as I talk about in the book, my childhood was, you know, a pretty normal childhood. And then I developed anorexia somewhere around the sixth grade. So that sort of changed my childhood in a lot of meaningful ways. But in other ways, you know, it was a pretty normal childhood.
Okay, that's good. So when did your eating disorder start? You say you were a teenager. But...
Sorry, you cut out. I didn't hear the question.
You heard my question?
No, you cut out after the first couple of words.
Oh, sorry. I was saying, you said your eating disorder started when you were a teenager, right? So
preteen.
Preteen. So what was going through your brain at that time that made you be anorexic?
Yeah, I mean, as I talk about in the book, I eating disorders are biopsychosocial. So if you have the genetics to develop an eating disorder, you are not necessarily going to develop one for sure, but you are more likely to develop one if you go into energy deficit or caloric deficit. I came from a family where, weight was talked about a lot and looking a certain way. And so when I started gaining a little bit of weight at the end of fourth grade, you know, like kind of like the way kids sometimes do, my parents were really concerned. They didn't want me to get fat and mentioned that all the time. And then it wasn't until sort of a comment that somebody else made, a friend of theirs, when I was in grade six, that sort of sliced me to the core. And I started restricting food and lost weight pretty quickly. It was only about 10 pounds that I, you know, according to them, had to lose. And so I lost the weight pretty quickly and got a lot of very positive comments about my appearance and my self-control. And so for me, that kind of felt like I was doing everything right. And that was the beginning of my eating disorder.
Mm-hmm. I can sort of relate. Especially when it comes to females, right? As girls, there's always a slight comment like, oh, you look good this way, or do your hair this way, or if only you lose like 5 pounds and you'll be considered pretty and things like that. So I do understand how that can affect self-esteem and self-confidence, thinking you need to, you know, lose weight to look a certain way. So I get that. So now let's talk about your book, right? My Messy Hopeful. Hold on. So it's called The Skinny, right? Messy Hopeful Fight for Full Recovery from Anorexia Midlife. So you had a midlife anorexia.
I don't think the word midlife isn't in my title. The word midlife isn't in my title.
Yes, I know, but you had a midlife anorexia.
I mean, it's yes and no. I never really... I was very severely ill when I was a teenager for a number of years. And then I fell into something called quasi recovery, which is this place sort of in between illness and health that a lot of people fall into when they, after they have a restrictive eating disorder. And so I was kind of in this like quasi recovered place for a number of years. And then it was after the birth of my third child that I sort of had an accidental mini relapse and then realized that I'd never actually recovered. So my cat is banging on my door. Give me 20 seconds to just let her in.
No problem.
Otherwise, she'd make us crazy for the entire interview. Sorry about that.
No problem. So for people that might not know what anorexia is, are you able to explain what that is? Because not... Don't know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, anorexia is an eating disorder where that is brought on by, you know, you like restrict food for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, because you want to lose weight or for some other reason, and then you increasingly find it harder to eat. And there are a lot of there's a DSM diagnosis, the diagnostic and statistical manual, that I think also talks about losing a certain amount of weight. But it's being shown that a lot of people with anorexia actually aren't in very thin bodies. So that's sort of a stereotype that isn't necessarily true. It's people who, just don't eat enough sort of for their body to survive to survive optimally, I guess.
Wow. So is that different from people that stick their fingers into their throat out the food that they eat?
Yeah, that's a different eating disorder. That's bulimia, which also has different diagnostic criteria. There are people with anorexia who do vomit, but that is, again, a different subtype of anorexia. But anorexia generally and bulimia are different eating disorders with different criteria.
Okay, thank you for making the distinction. So let's say there's a girl out there that's going through, you know, anorexia and they want to stop. So what are the tips that you have for them that they can use to stop being anorexic?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a pretty complex illness and it presents in different people in different ways. I think the first thing, is realizing that you want things to be different and better and that they can be different and better. I think a lot of the time when you have an eating disorder, you actually don't think that you can recover. And so I think knowing that it is possible to recover and then just reaching out for help, whether that be to a friend or to a doctor or just to a member of your community or a teacher, and, you know, not not, if the first person you talk to isn't serving you in a way that is helpful, then talk to somebody else. Because, you know, there is help out there and you can recover. You know, it's not a life sentence and your life can definitely be better. You know, a thing with anorexia, sometimes when you're in it, especially at the beginning, there's like this honeymoon phase where you actually don't want to get better. Or you feel like it's part of your identity and you don't feel like you can get better and because there's nothing else in your life that is worth getting better for. And that's just part of the illness. Those are symptoms of your illness. Feeling like you're not going to get better is a symptom of your illness. And that's something you have to remember that that everything is worse when you're restricting food and your body isn't getting enough calories to function.
Thank you for that. So your book now, where can people find your book and how, if they want to support you on social media, where can they find you?
Well, my book is available at Indigo, Barnes & Noble, Target, I believe, Amazon. If you're in Canada, you know, lots of small independent bookstores. And I also wanted to say just about my book is that it's not just written for people with anorexia. It's written for anybody who's ever struggled with their body image, who has ever felt uncomfortable in their body, or who knows somebody who has an eating disorder or disordered eating. And it's funny. I think you can say really important things with humor. And so it was really important for me to write a book that was humorous and easy to read, but also had serious parts. And I'm also, I have a recovery account. It's called repair.not.despair on Instagram. So you can find me there.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing your story and coming on. And thank you so much for your patience. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And have yourself a lovely day.
You too. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Big, big thank you to our guest for today. And if you would like to learn more about today's topic, please go on howtosurvivesociety.com. There you can get some life skills courses and some merchandise and contact me if you would like to be a guest on the show. So thank you so much for tuning in and have yourself a lovely day. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and more. Within minutes of finishing your recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together. So if you ever need help to start your own podcast, reach out to me. And then, you know what you can do also? You know, you can follow the link in the show notes, that lets Buzzsprout know that I sent you, so you can get a $20 Amazon gift card when you sign up for a paid plan. And you can also support the show that way. So, yeah. So if you're looking to start your own podcast, reach out to me. Follow the link under the notes show and you'll be able to sign up and get a $20 Amazon card. Yeah.